It is Locked On Jazz for the 1st of October. Media Day Jazz. Reactions and get to know Bojan Bogdanović as training camp gets underway. It's Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and helping you enjoy the Jazz season. Not the off season, but the season. We are here, opening day training camp today. We get to watch them out on the floor. I'll have all sorts of reports for you all the time. So where do you want to follow to get the latest news on the Jazz during the season? Instagram, DLock09. I'll do live little reports, updates every day, give you almost your flash briefing type things on Instagram. You can follow me there. I'll try to go live with various press conferences at Locked On Sports on Twitter, as well as on Instagram at times. I'll try to set that up for you. It might be tomorrow. UtahJazz.com/LockedOnJazz. I'll have little bullet notes from training camp each day and things of that nature that are taking place, almost a daily empty the noggin type thing for you. And right here, Locked On Jazz on iTunes, Spotify, wherever. Please subscribe to the show and make it part of your daily routine. So glad to have you with us. We bring this to you every day, Monday through Friday. All right, today's plan, review what took place on Media Day, and then I sat down with Bojan Bogdanović, so you get to know him a little bit. We'll have a get-to-know series coming with a bunch of the players here in the next few days. By the way, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand, so you can start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. All right, I thought the biggest story that came out of yesterday's media day, there was Podium, there was us live at UtahJazz.com. I believe you can still get that. The Dante Exum interview was great. Joe Ingles was really good at Utah Jazz Facebook. And there was the 1280 The Zone, so lots of content for you. The biggest news story I thought that took place was that Donovan's healthy. And I thought it was kind of revealing, actually, on how much he kind of stated that he wasn't healthy a year ago. That he was maybe a little bit more hampered and not quite right. And as he started the year last year, if we go back, you know, when everyone talks about the year he didn't have, which I still think is a ridiculous conversation, they're really talking about the opening month or two, right? So in November and December, Donovan shot 42 and 38% in the opening part of the season. And his three-point shooting was 25% and 29% in Denver. So we had a brutal schedule. He wasn't quite right. But if you go to post-January 1 of Donovan Mitchell, and to some extent you almost wonder if it's like the acquisition of Kyle Korver and some of that area or whatever, we play the first in Toronto, and Donovan says last year, you're going to get a different year, different me. In the final 44 games of the season, Donovan Mitchell shot 45% from the field, 41% from three, scored 27 points a game, had 5 rebounds and 5 assists while taking 21 shots a game. He was remarkable. And then if you dig in on the next tier of that and get into some of his other numbers, Ron Boone and I talked about this a little bit the other day on the live program, you end up with some catch and shoot numbers and things of that sort post January 1 that are simply just as good as you can get. And so to hear that Donovan kind of, hey, that foot injury really slowed me down. I think he would openly admit he might have over-traveled. Hopefully this year he figured that out a little bit and maybe didn't travel as much. So he went to China still. I mean, he still got to sell the shoe, right? He went to China a ton. But you start to look at those numbers and see what he did in those catch and shoot. He's 48.3% off the bounce. He's 36%. If he's anywhere near those numbers for this season, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about propelling this team to another level. Because those are mammoth numbers. That's Donovan taking the leap. that everyone's talking about. If Donovan takes the leap, that's Donovan taking the leap. And that's the natural growth, actually, that's taking place. Year one to year two, when you had a great year one, is not a natural growth pattern. That's an expectation that I would say is somewhat faulty. So that was really fascinating, I thought, or maybe the most interesting part of the day, was kind of hearing that comment from Donovan at the podium, talking about how much he you know, respects being healthy now today compared to what it was before. And then you obviously have the USA Today presence, where Rudy Gobert was super interesting, talking about how much he thinks that will help Donovan in regards to how Donovan is, who he is, how he plays, and how much it helped Rudy. Rudy's saying, I think it'll help Donovan the same way that it helped me. So super interesting comments in regards to Donovan. The other thing that was pretty interesting was how obtuse everybody was about Dante Exum's health status, including Dante. Dante made the comment to us, I'm here to be ready for the playoffs. It really hurt to miss that. Wow, that's a, you know, in October to be talking about being ready for the playoffs. We are certainly going to make the playoffs, but it's an interesting kind of comment from Dante that his mindset is not being ready for opening day, but being ready for the playoffs. So that I thought was interesting. If that's the case, this is a huge opportunity for Emmanuel Mudiay. You know, there probably was a real competition for who's going to get those minutes. And now Emmanuel Mudiay, who I think is really, truly the biggest question mark on this entire roster. He's loaded with skill. He's incredibly strong. He has some natural instincts of a hesitation dribble and things of that nature to his game that are unique. And then secondarily, here's a guy who frankly has not been good yet in his career. And he may not have been in a good position either. Like, that's just not clear. But he's now got, if Dante's really does, it doesn't, no one said like Dante's not ready. They said he'll participate in training camp. He'll be involved in training camp, but never said like he's a go and didn't talk about opening night. So it was very clear that there was a goal not to set a date for him. And time will tell. Maybe he's totally ready and it's symptomatic, and that's kind of one of the things Dennis Lindsay said, and they'll let him play it out, and we'll see whether or not it's you know, how that plays. It was clear to me that there was not, like, they weren't, he's ready to go. Like, that was not the answer to the question when I asked it, when Dennis Lindsay got asked it. And Dante was fabulous in our interview yesterday, just so insightful of how he's been able to handle it, what he's been able to do, what he's been through, how he's fought through it, things of that nature. So all sorts of fun conversation pieces with Dante, but this is really an opportunity for Emmanuel Mudiay with, you know, you're not going to want to run Mike Conley out there for much more than 31, 32 minutes a night, even though Mike played a lot last year. I think an under talked about thing about Mike, and he, you know, the age is a real issue for a lot of the guys on this roster. At least, you know, that's what they tell us. I think some of this stuff is a narrative that's outdone the science, frankly, but last year, interestingly enough, on Mike Conley, Mike Conley played 39 games of 34 or more minutes last year. Now, probably out of necessity, but that's a guy who's obviously in great physical shape and ready to go. One of the things you always look at is back-to-back numbers. Mike's back-to-back numbers were less one day rest, or I guess no days rest, going to Basketball Reference, shot 42% compared to 46% with some rest. So a little bit of a sign there that you probably want to be worried about where his recovery is, where his body is. I mean, frankly, everything I've been told from NBA players on this issue of health is it just happens. You just suddenly aren't right anymore. And it's, you know, it happens. Actually, that number from Basketball Reference does not have 0 days rest on it. He shot 51% and 38% with no days rest. He shot 42% with one. He shot 46% with two. So that doesn't actually show joint. So anyway, huge. I think that's a huge note is Emmanuel Mudiay seems to have a grand opportunity. 3 million people already use Dave to save up to $1,000 a year in overdraft fees. That's why it's the number one budgeting app in the App Store. Go to dave.com/lockedon and never pay another overdraft fee. Get to know Bojan Bogdanović, as well as some thoughts on Royce O'Neal, Justin Wright, Foreman, Joe Ingles, Dennis Lindsay conversation, and all of those things coming up on today's edition of Locked on Jazz. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate market for you. So if you are moving into this fourth quarter and deciding this is the time to buy or sell your home, Homie is doing things that have never been done before and changing the marketplace for you. I've talked to you a lot about how Homie's changing the marketplace in regards to selling your house when Homie very impressively just sets a set fee for it. So if you've got the best house in the marketplace in your area, you've done all of those kind of things, it does. They don't charge you more. They just charge you $1,500. Well, now Homie also can buy any home for you. That's right. Choose Homie agent versus the traditional. Why? Well, because they're going to give you $5,000 back to help with closing fees. So that's $5,000 toward your house so you can buy the dream home you want. They'll help you find that dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and then work to get you $5,000 back at the end. Go to homie.com. If you want more, just text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588 to find out more of what Homie can do for you. You can buy with Homie and save thousands because Homie's got your back. Bojan Bogdanović, get to know. I don't think you've heard a lot from him, so we'll have that for you upcoming. Hopefully you'll like that. What are some of the other things that jumped out to me? The Bojo Show, obviously Mike Conley making when asked by Donovan Mitchell, and just that's still the fun, right? Donovan's still adding that mood. You still get that camaraderie. You can feel that togetherness that hopefully will drive this team, despite the fact it's a tremendously new roster. So that tells you there's still that, you know, you still have Joe Ingles. You still have Donovan. You still got Rudy's fight. I still go back to a comment, Howell Neto, who we will miss badly as a person, as well as a player. The one that jumps out to me maybe the most about what Howell Neto said about Rudy Gobert was that his unabashed confidence forces you to believe in yourself as well. I thought that was a really interesting comment, and I think it is true. And that, you know, he brings that aspect to this. Quinn Snyder's talked about that a lot. In that, hey, you know, Rudy believes at such a level, and he often believes more than we do. I thought Joe Ingles was great conversation on the Utah Jazz Facebook feed. If you didn't get that, I assume that's still up. So I will send a link for you and get it to you via Locked On Sports on Twitter. So if you want to go kind of grab that, you're welcome to, or I'll send it. I'll try to share it on my Locked On Sports feed as well. So I'll look and see if I can find that, if they actually have that at Utah Jazz. They didn't seem to have it up on the main site. So a lot of media day coverage there, but not a lot of our live show. We'll see whether we can find that for you. But I thought Joe Ingles was really interesting. Great news. He was really great. The truth of his personality, talking about it is up on UtahJazz.com, by the way. I've just found it. So if you can't find it there, I will share it at both the Locked On Jazz page as well as on the Locked On Sports page for you. So make sure you grab that there if you want to. The Joe Ingles thing I thought that was super interesting yesterday was him. I brought up to him, hey, last year you were often like the number two option in this whole offense, and now there's going to be times when you're number five. And he was like, yeah, I love it. And I thought that was really interesting to see how excited he was about that. And really just a complete understanding of the burden that's been asked upon him. And then obviously what he now has to do. And I think the players are totally aware of this roster and what it can do. I think that's the most interesting thing to me. They're totally aware of the shooting, what's taking, you know, what level there is, of offensive talent on this team. And so Quinn basically has sent the message to them. They shared that this team's going to go as far as you can go defensively. And I talked to Dennis Lindsay about that a decent amount, about the numbers I've shared with you guys so many times, that when Derek Favors was off the floor, the defensive numbers are still really, really good. And so what does that tell us about where this team can go defensively without Derek Favors? Obviously, Ed Davis is super good. He's probably the second best backup center in the NBA last year, so he might be the best backup center in the NBA, unless you think DeAndre Jordan's still good or Jared Allen in Brooklyn. But so you still have that aspect to him. Dennis talked a lot about Ed Davis punishing people on the offensive glass, that aspect of the game, and bringing that to who he is. So we'll see whether the Jazz can get that out of Ed Davis. Tony Bradley, a lot of reports that he was just terrific in OTAs. Maybe Tony Bradley is ready to push for some minutes in that regards. Tony Bradley's a guy that I have just a great deal of respect for in the way he's battled, and such a nice kid, and still just 21 years of age. He was effusive with his praise of assistant coach Vince LaGarza, who he's been working with for a great deal of time, and how much he meant. So I thought Dennis was good in that regard. Justin Zanuck joined us on that program as well. A few other notes that jumped out to me. Justin Wright Foreman, just a delightful young man, easy to root for. Probably spend most of the year with the Salt Lake Stars, but you can watch him and root for him there. Royce O'Neal's confidence is bubbling. He's just been through a lot. I think he has that. He is confident, but with an unabashed, inappropriate confidence, but a kind of a belief that he's developed and worked hard enough to get where he needs to go. So first day of training camp today should be really interesting to see what happens with the guys and how they play through these various things, and what we learn from all of them. Those were basically the notes I had. I did not get a chance to talk to Rudy. They were doing some of the guys were doing a big commercial shoot and was taking a little while, and so we didn't get all of them. I will say this, keep an eye on Mia One. I think he's going to work with Mia One. It has a good training camp. I think he can work his way in, particularly if Dante's not quite ready. This is why I think so. If Dante's not quite ready, he's the next in line. If Moutier doesn't develop, he's the next in line. If Royce O'Neal gets nicked, he's the next in line. If Donovan gets nicked, he's the next. There's so many different vehicles by which he's going to get time on the floor. He can play the 1, 2, or 3. He can defend the 1, 2, or 3. I don't know if he can really play the 1. I think he can bridge the 1 rather than play it. And so I think he's going to get an opportunity in that regard. The other one I think is going to be super interesting to watch, probably training camp's not going to be the place for it, but George Niang. George Niang has really proven he can give you valuable minutes. I'm not sure where they are on this roster, and so it'll be interesting to see how much George forces it upon the coaching staff that he gets those moments and that they have to find a way to put him on the floor. Bojan Bogdanović. What do you know about him? What's he like? We'll find out coming up. Murdoch Hyundai is the home of the Palisade that is rocking the motor world right now. The 8-seater, every safety world. We bought that Santa Fe, and basically I was talking to Blake Murdoch the other day. He was joking. You tried to create the Palisade. We put all the safety features in for our young son, who's driving in 16 and so not good, and by definition, not because of him. And we got him as many safety features as we could. It passed all the safety tests. We gave the 3 rows of seats so mom could still use it to run the kids around to various skiing events. And then they came out with the Palisade. That's what that car is right now. And it is flying off the market. There are Linden is the number one selling Hyundai dealership in the country of the Palisade. 4646 South State Street in Murray. If you're looking for a car right now, at least put a Hyundai on the list. Stop by the Murray store, say hi to Jason there, go down to Linden, say hi to Blake there. And if you're going down to one of these stores and you're looking for a car, don't be silly. Send me an email, DLock09, and let me know. I did it for one of our guys the other day and saved him a bunch of money. Blake, I texted Blake. I said, I got a guy who wants to come down there. What can we do for him? He says, tell him to ask for me. I got an email from Michael shortly thereafter that said, hey, just by telling you, I got an additional $693 off, no questions asked. It is Murdoch Hyundai in Logan, in Linden, as well as at 4646 South Street. You'll get the best, most amount of features for your dollar, plus some great cars. The SUV lineup's the short little zippy Kona with the Tucson, the Santa Fe, and now the Palisade, and the Sonata and the Elantra are the sedans. It's Hyundai, it's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Let's go on a journey with Bojan Bogdanovic.
All right, let's get to know Bojan Bogdanovic. If you took me back to your hometown, what would you show me?
I would definitely show you the old bridge. Mostar, it's kind of big history city over there. There's a lot of things to see and to learn. So the old bridge is one of the first things that I would take you.
That whole area for Americans is not known as a place you travel. We travel to Paris and London, but I hear Europeans all travel to the old Yugoslavia and all those various countries for their vacations.
Exactly. Croatia is one of the most beautiful countries in the world, especially in the summertime. We got a lot of more than 1,000 islands, so it's becoming more popular, so there's a lot of tourists last couple of years over there.
Did you have any brothers and sisters growing up?
Oh yeah, I have three younger sisters, so I'm the oldest one, protector.
And where are they now?
They're still in Croatia.
Okay. Yeah. If you took me back to your childhood room, what did it look like?
It would be a lot of like footballs and basketballs, a lot of things that everybody does. So, but I was always like trying to get in the sport, so there'll be a lot of balls all around. Yeah.
Did you play soccer as a American soccer, European football?
No, it's football.
Yes, it is.
Football in Europe.
I started it wrong. I admit it.
It's football. So yeah, I play football like all Europeans. I think that we start with the football and then we switch off to another sport. That's how I start. I played till I was 15, I think. So,
do you think that helps you?
I think so. My footwork is kind of better. My coordination it's better. So I think that playing other sports can help you to be better in your.
Now didn't you leave Bosnia Herzegovina at about 16 years old to go to Europe? I mean, to
Madrid.
To Madrid.
Yeah, I left my home when I turned 16. So I was there by myself, so I'm still living like that.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is, what's the hardest thing you ever had to overcome? I would guess that trying to get through that was probably very close to the top.
Yeah, that was the hardest one to be a part of my family. I had one sister in that time, so it was hard. Especially I didn't speak Spanish, and everybody over there around the club speaks just Spanish, so it was tough first couple of months, but as soon as I pick up the language, it was kind of easy. But still, to be far away from family, it was tough.
When you came to the United States, did it make it easier in the sense that you've just been doing this for so long that you've been traveling and on your own?
Oh yeah, that was easy. I mean, like I said, I left when I was 16, so came to States was nothing compared to that.
Nate McMillan in an interview said once that he has to kind of get you to talk every now and then, that you're kind of quiet and you'll just kind of plow through. Is that back to from that characteristic?
I mean, I talk when I have to. I don't talk just to talk. So no, Nate is cool guy. I had a great relationship with him, so he was kind of joking probably.
Joe Ingles will do all the talking for you.
Exactly.
What was the first court you ever played on, and what was it like?
There was on a rooftop on one building in Croatia. That was our practice facility. So it was kind of bad core, but still I love it.
Outside or inside?
Inside, but it feels like outside because windows are kind of broke, ceiling it's leaking. So, but still was one of my favorite places to go and play basketball.
When did you realize you were good? When did you realize that you had a real talent?
I played just 1 year and I signed with Madrid right away. So pretty soon I realized that I can be good and have a good career.
Who was the one that pushed you the hardest, that maybe was the toughest on you in your?
My dad and my dad probably. My dad and my grandfather. Sorry, there were my dad used to play over there in Croatia for a long time. So he was the guy that tried to coach me and kind of told me all my mistakes after the game.
No, that's really interesting though. Your father played, and yet you didn't start playing until you were 15 years old. That's most dads who played try to get their kids in it right away.
He tried to drag me to basketball, but all my friends used to play football. So that's how I started with the football. But in the end, I switch up things. God,
what you wear 44? How come?
There is no any reason. When I signed with I used to wear 4 and 7, and both numbers were taken over there in Istanbul in Fenerbahce. So I had to choose 44. There's no any reason.
I haven't gotten to talk to you about signing with Utah. What was that process? And you had a great situation in Indiana, and now someone's coming at you and willing to really show you how important you are. What was that whole process, and how did you decide?
But it was, everything happened pretty quick. I mean, I had a couple offers from the team around the league, but when the Jazz and the president and the coach called me and say that they want me in a team, and just seeing how good roster we have with a great mix, young and old players, and with the Donovan and Mike, it was easy decision for me.
Back to basketball for a second, or maybe not. What is the one thing you would like to get better at?
I would love to play better defense. I'm working on it last couple of years. I really improved. Last year in Indy, we were one of the best teams in the league defensively. So I hope that's gonna happen here too.
Having been in a few teams, what is the thing that makes for a successful basketball culture inside of a team?
Chemistry, definitely. I mean, I realized that the last two seasons with the Pacers, no one gave us any chance to be in a playoff push or to take LeBron and Cleveland to 7 games. So I think that chemistry is more important, because every single team got a quality and great players on the team. So how you gonna realize your minutes, your shots, your position in the team is gonna decide how good your team is going to be.
Final two quick questions for you. When a fan thinks of you, what do you want a fan to think?
I want them to think that I bring something new to the team, and that I help the team to go deep to the playoffs.
And when a teammate thinks of you, what do you want a teammate to think of?
He's the go-to guy.
Thanks to Bojan Bogdanović. We'll continue to have the get-to-know interviews for you for the next few weeks, and all the reports from training camp at DLock09 on Twitter. Excuse me, on Instagram, Locked On Sports on Twitter, UtahJazz.com/LockedOnJazz. All available for you, all the latest news, all the biggest updates, and subscribe to this podcast, Locked On Jazz, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, there are now NHL Locked On Podcasts, as the NHL channel launched yesterday on the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great day.